I'm Nathan Cones here with your news. A drier than usual May led to expanding drought conditions, with roughly three quarters of the state now classified as abnormally dry or worse, according to the latest Iowa Water Summary Update. A drought watch remains in effect for northwest Iowa, where dry conditions persist. However, recent rainfall did eliminate the region's remaining pocket of severe drought. Conditions deteriorated across much of the state during May, particularly in northern and eastern Iowa. As for the listening area, 100% of the seven-county region is classified as D0, or abnormally dry. Iowa recorded 2.78 inches of precip during May, which is 2.06 inches below normal. The statewide average temp for the month was 60.9 degrees Fahrenheit, 1 degree above normal. Iowa Department of Natural Resources Environmental Specialist Jessica Reese McIntyre says the seasonal outlook through August indicates that these current dry areas will likely persist, with further drought development anticipated in the northern and eastern regions. Stream flow levels generally remained near normal for the season, but soil moisture levels have declined because of that limited rainfall. The water summary update is prepared monthly by technical staff from the Iowa DNR, the Iowa Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship, IIHR, Hydroscience and Engineering, and the U.S. Geological Survey in collaboration with Iowa Homeland Security and Emergency Management. The complete May Iowa Water Summary Update is included with this story on our website. You can check it out for very specific local details. The annual Kick It Up soccer tournament is scheduled for this weekend in Carroll, which is expected to draw more than 1,000 players, coaches, and fans to the community. This is the sixth year for the city-led youth tournament, and it has quickly grown to be one of the largest soccer tournaments in western Iowa, at least youth soccer tournaments, very reminiscent of the Carroll Chamber of Commerce's Court Classic, just with soccer instead of basketball. As of today, nearly 30 teams with 450 players and coaches from around the state will be in town on Saturday to compete, as well as watch the boys, girls, and co-ed divisions from 10U to 14U. Play gets underway at 8:30 a.m. Saturday, with dozens of games scheduled throughout the morning, afternoon, and early evening at the half-dozen fields near the Carroll Middle and High Schools. Fans are encouraged to come and spectate tomorrow's games. You can find a link to the Kick It Up tournament schedule included with this story on our website. Participants in the tourney will also receive passes for the Carroll Aquatic Center. There'll be various food trucks on site all day long as well for fans and for players. And of course, the top two teams in each bracket are going to get themselves a Kick It Up medal. The U.S. Department of Agriculture, Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service has confirmed the presence of a new livestock parasite in domestic herds, and Iowa's ag officials are keeping a very close eye on the situation. A New World screwworm was eradicated from the U.S. back in 1966, but the blowfly is believed to have reemerged due to native populations in Mexico and Central America. The confirmation was announced on Wednesday. New World screwworm is a parasitic blowfly species that lays its eggs in warm-blooded animals, and the larvae then feed on the host, which leads to increased livestock mortality rates. Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Mike Negg says, "I appreciate Secretary Rollins' leadership and all her work and her team at USDA is doing to quickly respond to this case and work to prevent the spread of the parasitic New World screwworm fly." The Iowa Department of Agriculture Land Stewardship is closely monitoring the situation in Texas, and our team stands ready to respond as needed to protect Iowa livestock and our farm families' livelihoods. Negg adds that consumers face no food safety risk from the pest, and that properly cooked meat does remain safe to eat. A New World screwworm, as far as we can tell, has never been established in Iowa due to the state's cold winters. It just couldn't get a native population set. However, the impact on markets could still be felt by local producers. And we do need to step away for just a moment. Stick around. Got more news on the way. It's coming up next here for you on KCIM.
Hi, this is Jordan Ellis with CK Homes, and now your local Heritage Home Builder. With Heritage Homes, we offer custom home designs with full turnkey construction management. We make the building process simple, transparent, and actually enjoyable. We build unique custom homes from design to final walkthrough. Our team guides you every step of the way. Just results you'll love coming home to. Take a tour at heritagehomesofne.com or give us a call today at 1-800-759-2782. Again, that number is 1-800-759-2782.
Welcome back to KCIM's Midday News. I'm Nathan Cones reporting. A rare event is scheduled for Central Iowa tomorrow. That's the grand opening of an 1,100-acre wildlife area, the single largest park acquisition in Polk County's conservation history. Jessica Lone, the agency's community outreach supervisor, says the vast landscape known as the Brenton Slough north of Grimes has been privately owned by the Brenton family since the 1880s. Dozens of organizations and more than 700 households donated to the project to make the $8 million purchase possible. For nearly a century and a half, Lone says this expansive land has been protected by the family as a private hunting ground and bird sanctuary with rare species of turtles, salamanders, and butterflies. There's minimal infrastructure, Lone says, with just a gravel parking lot and a few mowed paths. Visitors will need to don hiking boots and long pants for a hike through that new public prairie. Iowa State University Extension's Food Innovation and Business Hub has been offering online webinars to help businesses with figuring out how to get and keep customers. Food business specialist Alex Van Alstein says part of the issue is knowing how to price what's on the menu.
Within the food industry and the restaurant industry, we tend to see a lot more overpricing of food. And sometimes that's because we aren't figuring out our total cost, especially our labor costs in those foods. And we overinflate what we expect to be there.
Van Alstein says overinflating the price is one of the factors that can leave customers unhappy.
Customers tend to leave unsatisfied because they spent $20 for a hamburger. But in actuality, you could have gained more customers with 15, and we could have covered all the costs for your business.
Van Alstein says you need to be very detailed in determining your total costs.
It really starts with documenting, tracking everything from your ingredients costs all the way up through your labor. And a good kitchen, a good business, tracks even records on production lines, batch quantities, what they're producing, when they're producing, who's managing that, and who's involved in the kitchen.
He says there are ways to make changes when food prices increase without raising the price of a meal. He cites hamburger again as an example.
We can look at our sides, and we can increase the value of what we see, or we can make minor adjustments to the burger. We can increase the volume of the bun. We can increase the portion size or even decrease slightly to see how customers react to that.
Van Alstein says they also teach businesses about the difference between margin and markup.
A lot of the industry and a lot of companies in food say, I have a 30% margin on something, and they just multiply that out by their food and add 30%. What they're actually doing is increasing a markup. And what that means is your margin is actually around 20 to 22% based on calculations. So you're leaving money on the table.
He says if you've done the work to calculate your actual food cost, then figuring out your margin is much easier. The next webinar in that series is coming up on June 11th. You can find out more at extension.iastate.edu/foodinnovation. State Auditor Rob Sand says his office has identified multiple serious discrepancies in Madison County's financial records.
These are not minor findings. This is a big deal. Taxpayers in Madison County deserve better.
Auditors combed through records from a year-plus period, June 1st of 2022 through June 30th of 2023. Sand says they found missing checks and unverified deposits.
There was such a mess down there in bookkeeping. We don't know and cannot determine what was supposed to be where.
Madison County Treasurer Amanda DeVos was arrested early last year and has been charged with theft, fraud, and felonious misconduct in office. She resigned last summer and is scheduled to go to trial this fall. Sand says auditors from his office who went to Winterset to do a cash count found $221,000 worth of checks, cash, and coins sitting in the Madison County Treasurer's office. There was no proof of where more than a third of that money they saw that day came from.
Deposits were sometimes made months late. At one point, there were actually 39 separate deposits totaling $4.4 million made on the same day.
Sand says DeVos also delayed or misdirected tax payments to schools, cities, and other entities in Madison County. DeVos is accused of documenting that her property taxes and vehicle registration fees were paid.
And an IOU was found in the treasurer's office instead.
The Iowa State Auditor's Office has forwarded its two most recent audit reports to the county attorney and the sheriff in Madison County and to the Iowa Attorney General and the Iowa Division of Criminal Investigation. In December, Madison County Board of Supervisors hired an accounting firm in Georgia to conduct future audits of the county's finances rather than have the state auditor's office do that work. And that is going to be wrapping up your look at the midday news for this Friday, June 5th, 2026 on KCIM. I'm Nathan Cones reporting, wishing you a great weekend.